This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. It's time now for a look back at the week's biggest news stories. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore is out this week, so I'm joined by NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Good morning there, Ron.
Good morning, Jackie.
So let's start with health care, which is obviously looming. Walk us through the major developments this week, would you please?
Yes, the president has delayed his trip to South Pacific nations, Australia, Indonesia, Guam, because he wants to be here to press for votes in the last days as the House gets ready to engage in a two-stage process, really, of approving the final language on the health care bill. The president obviously didn't want to be out of the country at this crucial moment, and the House has really got a big question mark whether or not they've got the votes to get this thing moved on back over to the Senate. The mechanism is in place. The votes are going to start happening in committees on Monday and Tuesday. Then we'll get the final language, have a couple of days to look that over, and then the House seems to be ready to proceed to a vote next Friday or Saturday, despite all the distractions they've been dealing with.
And I just want to point out the subject, too, this morning of the Republican radio address with Senator Scott Brown accusing the Democrats of a bitter, destructive, and endless drive to pass it. More distraction or...
Well, I think Scott Brown is obviously answering the president's rhetorical arguments in favor of health care by bringing up the united opposition that Republicans have mounted against this. It has been bitter. There's no question about that. And it has been destructive in many cases. Now, history will have to judge who's been most responsible for the bitterness and the destructiveness of it. But it may not be endless, because we do now actually have a mechanism in place and a series of votes that should take place first in the House and then ultimately in the Senate that would bring this to a final resolution in the next couple of weeks.
Ron, we can't let the week pass, I think, without speaking of another distraction, the performance by New York Democrat Eric Massa, who resigned this week from Congress under threat of a House ethics investigation.
Yes, Eric Massa was a first-term member, just been in Congress for a little over a year, from the western part of New York State, and he resigned amid allegations of improper advances made toward male staff members, and he made quite a splash on the Glenn Beck Show and elsewhere in the media, talking about it for a few days. The ethics investigation into his own behavior has been closed, but the House voted on Thursday to have the Ethics Committee find out who in the Democratic leadership knew what about Eric Massa and when they knew about it and what they may have done about the allegations that may have been received some while in the past.
The House also took up the issue of earmarks this week, with House Democrats promising to ban earmarks for profit companies. What's the problem with earmarks? Certainly all members seem to profit from them.
Surely it is standard operating procedure in both chambers of Congress to try to direct money back into one's district, whether for municipalities, schools, in some cases for-profit companies, businesses. And in that case, it looks particularly, well, it gives the appearance of corruption if that private business then turns around and gives you a campaign contribution that helps you get reelected. So the timing on this proposal right now is prompted to some degree by the recent death of John Mercer, a longtime congressman from Pennsylvania. John Mercer was the Defense Appropriations Chairman, who was known for his earmarking.
Ron, moving on to foreign news, Vice President Biden visited Israel this week, and he arrived to find out that Israel had just approved a new batch of settlements in East Jerusalem, something the Obama administration had been pushing them to halt. There's been quite an intense reaction to this.
Yes, the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, called Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday and gave him an unusually long and strongly worded dressing down, I don't know what else to call it, for 45 minutes. Now, the immediate cause was the embarrassment of Vice President Joe Biden in Jerusalem this past week. He arrived for a kind of make-nice visit, and the Israelis announced they were adding 1,600 new housing units in disputed East Jerusalem, the very area the Palestinians hope to make their new capital if there ever is a two-state solution there. So the U.S. has been, you know, importuning the Israelis to freeze these housing developments in disputed areas for a long time, and the administration thought it had at least a moratorium on new construction.
And what's the reaction to this been in Israel? Any speculation that the relationship with the U.S. and Israel may be changing?
To blow this all up in Joe Biden's face on the day that he arrived in Israel is either a deliberate slap in the face of the Obama administration, by the Israeli government, or it's a case of remarkably poor coordination. And the Israeli press and opposition have been unsparing on this point. Which one it is in dispute, but seeing relations between the two allies at such a low point, at a time when they need to be united against the challenges posed by Iran, is extremely distressing to many Israelis.
Ron, bringing it back to the U.S., another distraction for the president was the ongoing war of words between the administration and some Supreme Court justices over the court's controversial ruling about campaign financing.
Yes, Chief Justice John Roberts weighed in this week, if only briefly, to say it was troubling to sit there listening to the State of the Union earlier this year and hear the president criticize this landmark decision that had been made by the Supreme Court in a 5-4 ruling. Chief Justice John Roberts was one of those in the majority that treats corporations as people and says they have the same sort of free amendment rights, First Amendment rights, that the rest of us have for free expression, and that includes spending money on political campaigns. So many people have found this a departure from a longstanding court ruling or court attitude towards the campaign contribution rights of corporations, and were disturbed by it, including the president. And there's been a good deal of back and forth about whether the Chief Justice was disrespecting the president or the president was disrespecting the court. I think there's a long history of this kind of thing going on in our republic back through many generations.
Ron, your colleagues in the press corps, I understand there was a bit of a rattle over an announcement about the delayed trip to Indonesia.
There was, because it was announced initially on Twitter. It was not announced through the usual White House briefing room kinds of announcements.
Well, why is that a big deal?
It bypassed the White House correspondence. And, you know, there's a lot of push for change in this administration. It's profoundly destabilizing. And, you know, change is destabilizing for us in the media, too, Jackie.
So it would seem. NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Jackie.